Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is the award-winning artist and illustrator, Valerie Rover. Rover began painting at a young age and was trained for many years by her artist father. Before she became a full-time painter, she worked as an illustrator and graphic designer in her own company. Her work has appeared in many galleries in the region and beyond, including the West End Gallery in Corning, Franklin Street Gallery in Watkins Glen, and the Artworks Gallery outside Boston. She has won many awards, including Best in Show at the Franklin Street Gallery in Watkins Glen, and first place in acrylics and oil painting at Cuca Lake Art Show. And welcome.
Good afternoon.
Now, you say you began creating art as a young child, and your father influenced you and helped train you. Tell us about that.
Well, I was always drawing. His work inspired me. He had an ad agency, and he did illustration work. His friends were artists, which I would tag along. Oh, God, one was Helen Kask, a pastel artist who just was amazing. Gordon Brewster, who was an illustrator, and he did advertising. He did pen and ink work for Johnson Motors in the 1950s and 60s.
Wow.
Just amazing work. And so I got a chance to go into several studios and with his friends, and they all encouraged me.
So could you tell, or could he tell that you already had a talent for this? Or
yes,
Did he help? So he helped you develop.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's funny, in the fourth grade in California, we had to do a mural. My part was to do Sutter Fort. So my dad taught me perspective.
Oh.
And when I took it in, the teacher said, "You didn't do this." And I'm like, "Yes, I did. My father taught me how." So, you know, it was kind of funny. I mean, to look back now, that was so long ago, but yeah. Some of the lessons were great.
Well, you know, I've had other artists on who are so talented that some of their early teachers and friends think they couldn't have done that. So that's quite a tribute to your dad's teaching abilities as well, right?
Well, and then he's my critic as well. I'm his critic now well. So, you know, we're together a lot.
I can imagine that it continues all through. Is he happy about your success?
Oh, yes. Very encouraging.
Oh, that's even more helpful, I think. Now, I find it interesting that you worked as a graphic designer and an illustrator before you got into oil painting and other forms of art. Tell us about that, because you say you started your own company doing that.
Well, I worked for the family business, Kozier Screen Printing, I think for 14 years. And at that point, I decided I wanted to go off on my own, and I was encouraged. Went off and did work for a number of companies in Elmira, Corning, surrounding area. Then I got into illustration work and some design work for Corning.
Yes, I have that in my notes too. You were designing dinnerware.
Yes.
That seems like such an interesting segue from there to oil.
Yes. Well, designing and then the term finisher.
Tell us what that means.
Or detailer, actually, is the right. Detailers take the artwork and make it work for the actual screen printing process onto the plates.
Wow.
So doing color separations and correcting the artwork for marketing so that they can use it. So it's a lot of work.
So you're overseeing the creative process so that it can actually be translated into different forms, huh?
Yes.
Wow. That sounds like a great education for anybody who wants to go into the arts, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, but most of that is computerized now, so the illustration work went from conventional to on the Mac, Photoshop, Illustrator.
That is so amazing. But you still have some of the original talents, right?
Oh, yeah.
The original
I never
skills.
Give that up.
Yeah. What a different world that is. Do you think something's missing because people are using Photoshop?
A little bit. I mean, if you're working to produce something, Photoshop's a great tool. I see people using it for paintings, and it's okay. I'm not a big fan of digital paintings, but I myself would rather do it conventionally.
Yeah, I can imagine. I hope more people feel that way, too. Now, tell us when you segued from all this into oil painting and other forms of that kind of art. How did you find that?
Well, I bought my first Mac in October of 85. In fact, I still have it.
Wow.
A little box mouse and floppy disks. And it's just technology was just the way things were going. So you had to hop on board or pretty much get left behind.
But you had to have developed a skill as a painter with a brush, right?
I mean, yeah. That's... I mean, I would, well, a lot of pen and ink work. I would do watercolor wash over pen and ink. Then dabbled a little bit with gouache. Got into gouache, again, doing work for Corning.
Tell people what gouache is.
Gouache is it's a water-based paint, more opaque than watercolor. You have to learn how to use it because it's very unforgiving.
Uh-huh.
So there's no way to go back and fix something. So,
uh-huh.
But still a challenge, and it's great to use. You know,
well, then, I'm sure it helps you develop a skill if it can't be, you know, redone.
Yes, and there are people who do some amazing work with gouache. But I kind of fell into oil painting. It is forgiving, thank goodness.
How did you do that? Did you just pick up a brush and say, I'm going to try this, or were you influenced?
Well, I had done it earlier. Then to get married, to have kids, you have no time. So any little bit of time that you have to do it, you'd squeeze it in.
Mm.
But then after I left work, I needed to use my hand. So I started oil painting. And I did some acrylic work. Wasn't happy with acrylics. So working with oils was just so much better.
did you discover that you were a natural with oils? Because it seems to me oils, if not forgiving, it's pretty hard to come up with some of the techniques and flavorings that you're going for.
Yeah, I mean, well, thank God my dad helped me. He's done both acrylic and oils, so getting his guidance, I believe, was a big, big part. Then the rest is do the work, get there. You know, it takes a while to get used to the medium. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's... I mean, there are paintings that I wasn't very happy with, but they were lessons, learning how to use some medium.
Oh, of course, so. Yeah. Did you save them?
No, not really.
Now, what I find really interesting, too, you say that you were influenced by several other artists, including Dutch artist,
yes.
Vermeer. And to tell me about that, because that's some of my favorite art.
Well... It's the technique. It's a Flemish technique. And you basically do an underpainting, which you start out drawing with like a raw umber. And you can do a wash over the canvas. You take and draw with the raw umber. Get everything to the right portions in the proper places after, you know, you set up a still life. So, I mean, you have to have a good reference point, and you look at your setup. You take and draw it out, very rough. Then, as far as the underpainting, it's done in shades of gray, sometimes cool, sometimes warm, depending on, you know, the subject matter, your lighting.
Wow, that sounds really intricate. It seems like it wouldn't be forgiving.
Isn't that stuff drying
on there, and then you can't change it, right?
The underpainting is my favorite part. It's where you make everything work.
Hmm.
And your proportions, your lighting, your contrast, everything is done in the grays so that when you go over in the color, you know that as you're going forward, everything is correct, and the color part actually goes quite quick. So, I mean, some people do a glaze, which is taking a very loose, it's an oil based with transparent pigments, and we'll do several glazings over the top. I don't. I mix the paint with the corresponding gray that I'm looking at, and it's a great way to get to where you're going, because there's pretty much no such thing as pure color.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is shades of gray or, you know, dealing with light. So it's pretty enjoyable. And it's a little bit longer process. But to me, it's more satisfying.
Yeah. Well, God, it's got to be worth it.
Yeah.
Now, tell us, how did you get into still life painting? There's so many subjects. I'm always curious how people end up with the still life techniques as well as interest.
I think because most of the artists that I like, well, Chardin,
And of course, Vermeer.
Oh, yes. Vermeer actually won that is very, very loose. Impressionist is Manet.
Oh, yeah.
And his still lives, I really enjoy. I mean, he was very, very loose. Of course, Impressionist style is, but he was one of my favorites. But I believe that getting into still life, it was just looking around, setting up vignettes. My studio has, north, east, and south light. So I would set things up in the morning because I get the east light, which it's a very calming light. And, if you set it up the right way, it's something that, it's enjoyable to look at. It's, you have your coffee, your tea, whatever in the morning, and it's a nice place to be.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Valerie Rover. She's a painter as well as an artist and illustrator. Now, I want to ask you about this, too. How did you start working your creations into galleries and so on? Was that a hard process? Did your father help you with that as well? Because it seems to me it's pretty detailed, and you have to learn to sell yourself.
Oh, yeah, the part I don't like.
Yeah.
I went to the art show in Hammondsport, and it's an outdoor venue. You set up your tent, which is an awful lot of work to get everything, the tent up. Now you have to hang your paintings up. You don't know how the weather's going to be.
Oh,
which
yeah.
1 year was rain solid on Saturday, and temperatures on Sunday were 95.
Oh, my God.
So, but I did have some help, and I have to thank she's in New Hampshire now, but she was in charge of the Arts Council in Southern Finger Lakes, is Jenny Loopy.
Oh, I know Jenny. She's been on the show, yeah.
Yeah, and she was really helpful. And getting me into West End Gallery was something that she told me I should do. So I met with Jesse, and later on, Jesse asked me to bring some stuff in, Jesse and Lynn. Mm-hmm. And as far as Lorica Artworks, right outside of Boston, it's actually Andover. One of the women that bought my painting, probably, I think it was the first painting I sold at Hammondsport.
Mm.
And she had a friend, Mia, who owned Lorica Artworks. So she called me and asked me if I would like to show in her gallery. So that was nice. So pack them up and ship them off. And I had never had the chance to go to the gallery. She's closed the physical gallery, and now is simply online. But very nice people. And, every gallery owner I've met is quite nice.
It's still such a wonderful, wonderful creative thing in the world. I was going to say art, but it's such a wonderful thing that it's actually there in the world still.
Yeah.
And isn't just digital or different,
Yeah, it makes a big difference, mm-hmm. because when you physically walk through a gallery, you see so much more, the texture, the paint, the true colors.
And then the way people react sometimes,
That's
kind of interesting too. Now, have you been surprised at the reception you've received? It seems like you've received a pretty good reception in regard to a lot of your work.
Well, I've met an awful lot of very nice people. I think, depending on what you're doing, I do fine art. People are open to it. In fact, it's been making a big comeback. Representational art is something that you're seeing more and more of, and not necessarily in detail or photorealism, which is something I don't do. Photorealism, I just don't feel comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people appreciate fine art, that it's just not throwing paint on a canvas. It's a lot of work and a lot of experience
and a lot of talent.
Oh,
I must say. I think that the art, I've been covering art for many years now, and it feels like it's growing more popular because of the culture. It's kind of a mean-spirited culture right now. People don't think very clearly about things sometimes, and art seems to be coming up in our consciousness.
Yes.
Because of that.
Yes. Well, I think people want to get away from what some of the stuff that's going on online. It's not a pleasant place to be sometimes. Yeah. So I think, you can get away with art. It's nice to go to the openings. Mm. Always friendly people there. And new people that come in. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I'm finding that for my music guests, too, that people are trying to get into the creative parts of our lives instead of staying in these dark, shadowy places.
Oh, it's a good place
to be heading into. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the fact that you had to segue from a solitary artist into somebody who has to learn how to talk about your art and sell your art. How did you do that? Did you just talk to friends, or did you talk to your dad about how to do that? Because it's an art, too.
Talking's not hard. I have four sisters.
Ah.
My dad had an ad agency. He always talks about the courses that he took on speaking. So he's always, you know, suggested how to go about doing things like that, just from his experience, which is vast. But I think it's not hard when, you know, meeting with people, the outdoor venues. People come in and want to know about your art. So you can talk about the process and subject matter and what are they looking for. Then at galleries, it's a very nice environment. It's more of an evening out, mm-hmm. which people are very receptive to.
Yeah, yeah. So the whole art world atmosphere has helped you?
Yes.
Craft this way of talking about your work. That's really interesting.
Well, I think the people are very receptive and want to talk about it. So I think they make it easy, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know, art lovers. It's a different breed, I have to say. Tell us about your everyday process. Do you have to be in the mood to paint? Do you make yourself do it every day? Do you practice before you undertake a serious painting? Tell us how you work.
Well, I do paint almost every day. Morning coffee, I think I spend observing what I've done. If the painting's dry enough, I'll paint. but a lot of time, you know, just the thinking process. You really need to sit back, look, and make sure you're headed in the right direction. Mm. Sometimes I do a thing with sticky notes. Changes that I want to make, and go forward. That I'm a real list maker, so I think that comes from work, continued on, and it's helpful for me. But after observing and then painting, I have to take some time to do housework and yard work. I'm a gardener, so.
So if you didn't have to do all these extra things, would you think you'd be sitting there painting all day?
Most of the day, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And it's a good place to go. You get to think about the work. And I know some people listen to classical music, and I listen to a variety of music. I think it depends on what kind of day you're having, really.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where sometimes, I'll go out in the garden, and mostly flower gardens, and just working and weeding, and the process of what you're working on, it's quiet time, so it's thought time. It works for me. So then I go back in and paint. So,
did you make yourself do that every day? Do you sort of say practice?
Some things. I mean, drawing is great practice. A lot of things are just quick little doodles of things I want to do. I get an idea, and I'll do like a little thumbnail sketch, and then gather the objects that I want to use and see if it actually works. You set up a little vignette and, wait for the sun to come up. And
So you actually think of a vignette you want to set up. I was thinking that maybe you go in the garden, find some, a handful of flowers and think, ooh, I should put that in a vase.
Oh, I have one of those I'm working on right now, which is, it's just a little gardener's bouquet, which, in a jelly jar. It's one of those things that, you go pick the flowers and it's a summer day and you go out and have iced tea or lemonade or whatever kind of thought behind the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, I've been interested in painting all my life, too. I'm not a painter, but I lived in the Netherlands, and the still life work of the Dutch artists, and I discovered that it's the intimacy of it that I love, that they're actually letting you into an intimate part of themselves. Do you feel that way about your work as well?
It's important, because I think that people buy a painting because they relate to it. And that's important. Just to paint, just to paint. I'm not a landscape painter. I have done some. But still life, I think, to me, says more than an outdoor venue.
Well, I can tell that you've really worked on this particular aspect of the art, because your still lives are absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
I was really impressed. How do you think your graphic design, and I know you do photography as well, how has that helped you with the painting in regard to perhaps light or how to set up a scene? Tell us how that has helped you.
Well, I think with graphic art, there's a lot of order. There are only some ways that you can do graphic art. There's the rules, the proper 1/3 rule. But that helps as far as setting up composition. And composition is very important. Depth perception from photography. I at one point wanted to be a photographer. And living in Napa Valley and going up to the wineries and understanding what perspective is from drawing from my dad, and you would look down the vineyards and you would just see the depth that's there. So, you know, I think when you look at something, not everything is going to jump out at you. Some things have to stay not as focused, and that. And I think, you know, some of the aspects of photography are important in understanding light and contrast.
Oh, absolutely.
Composition, and the idea that when you look at something like that, it helps push the message that you want to get across.
Yeah. You know, I've talked to a lot of artists who were told early on, especially some of the older artists, that you have to learn how to draw in order to be a good artist. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you have to draw. You just, it's
and
something.
Tell me why.
If you can draw, you can paint. There's a lot of lessons in drawing. Cast figures. I have the book, and it was really hard to get a hold of. Baroque drawing book, and I have the first edition, which is falling apart. It was a warning.
It tells you something. Right?
It just, you know, and you do the cast drawings, and you can buy the plaster of David, a number of different subjects, hands and whatever. But even if you use your own, you can look down at your feet and draw your hand. You get the right proportions. You understand the roundness, the proper proportions.
Yeah, and where the bones actually
and how, yes, how hands and, well, how the body actually is, you know, how it belongs.
Yeah. How it's designed, I suppose.
Yeah. You get your proportions. I did take a drawing course at Elmira College. It was an evening course. And you would do several drawings within 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes.
Wow.
And it's actually kind of neat, you know, because when you look at something and you get a glance, you know, what was it that you saw, that you captured? So that was kind of fun. So I took that with my dad. It was just a nice course to fit in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think anything having to do with art probably helps an artist, you know, regardless of what venue they're going after, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a continued learning process. There's things that you will come across that baffle you.
Oh, yeah.
As to how am I going to do that? And I'm not one to shy away from difficult subjects, so I tortured myself. But
I want to ask you, too, because a lot of artists have told me they either do or they don't visit galleries on a constant basis. And where are you at on that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. A year ago, Montreal, and there's some great galleries up there, just
yes.
In the old part of Montreal. And so it's kind of fascinating to see, you know, you go through each one and the different styles of artists, the treatment. It's just very enjoyable.
We only have a minute left or so. I want to talk about that Blue Moon Ball for the Corning Children's Hospital. You donate a painting to that?
Yes.
Every year, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I believe it's the last 3 years.
Yeah. To tell us about that, it sounds like an incredibly worthwhile project.
Oh, it is. It is. And, well, usually I have a painting that I put aside as I'm working because, I mean, you know, I work on a number of paintings, and when you work on a small 6x8, 8x10, you're done working on certain parts. You have to let it dry. Mm. So that's why you work on multiples. But it's a great charity. I've been working. Peggy Cook contacts me, and she's just wonderful. But they put it up for auction every year. I imagine every painting goes.
Oh, I'll bet.
It's always nice to hear. It's gone to a new home, and then the funds, I do 100%, and it's a very worthwhile thing. So it's something I kind of even look forward to.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. What a creative idea for raising money, too, instead
yes.
of just saying, give us a check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the upcoming exhibit you have in November at the West End Gallery in Corning. Tell us about that.
Oh, that's kind of neat. Everyone that exhibits there is working on, who is going to participate in this. It's a painting that you've worked on for an entire year, almost an entire year. It's got to be dry.
Yeah.
But I've got one now that I'm working on. It's 24 by 30, which is large for me. And I have to dust my setup all the time.
Really?
Well, I have everything set up, and then I'll take a picture of exactly how I want it to appear with the lighting. Because if something moves, I've had to replace the lemon 3 times. going to the store to find one that's similar, and people think I'm crazy looking for just the right lemon.
Well, that makes sense.
So, but it is kind of fun. It's a lot of work, and I think it's going to be a terrific, terrific show.
It sounds great. It starts November 16th, right?
And, yes.
And you and many other artists will be part of it. Now, we're almost out of time. Contact information if anybody wants to get in touch with you.
I do have a Facebook page. It's Valerie Rover, artist page, and I check it regularly.
And her name is spelled R-O-H-V-E-R, just so you don't lose her in the different spelling. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great pleasure, and keep up the great work.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's
very nice.
Really
thank you.
Fascinating. My guest has been Valerie Rover, a painter and illustrator. Thank you. Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.